Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
It is not easy starting a church from the ground up, from nothing. And when you have people who have been faithful with you, y'all don't want to fall off this thing. They do stuff like make sure you don't fall off the edge of the stage while you're preaching. Thank God for that. Back in chapter 2, I laughed at myself. I did that. Back in 2:2-3. I won't read it for the second time because I've got a ways to go and I want to end in worship. Habakkuk 2. Anybody just need a release? You just feel God doing something inside of you? Yeah, that's going to be a release that happens today. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. This was God's response to calamity that was all around Habakkuk. It's what he told him. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. It shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You will never understand where things fit or where you fit in life until you understand vision. You'll never understand your marriage, your job, your church, anything until you understand vision. Vision will, if you don't have vision, at best, you'll be driven by your issues. You'll seek God because you got anger problems. You got lust problems. God know that. Have you ever figured out that God already knows what you deal with? Your struggle is not, God is not ignorant to it. But that drives your relationship until you understand vision. There's certain things, can I tell you, you don't want God to take away. You want him to just help you discipline them into right now. To every single person, I'll just be honest, you deal with things in your flesh. There's certain feelings that don't jump on you when you walk down the aisle and all of a sudden you want to have sex now that you're married. You don't pray, God, take it away, because you're going to need that one day. What you pray, y'all looking at me strange. What you pray is, God, help me to discipline so in the moment it is what it's supposed to be. Y'all right in here? So you have dysfunctional relationships because there is no vision. You'll struggle with commitment because there is no vision. You'll have unstable finances when there is no vision, and you'll have a stagnant career. Until you have vision, you will not know where your spouse fits in your life. You won't understand spiritual authority in your life until you have vision. Once you have vision, you begin to build. Until you have vision, I wish we could send an email or a note and have a call with every church in this area and let every pastor know we are not in competition. We're on the same team, Team Jesus. While we arguing over who going to what church, you do know there's a lot of people that don't go to nobody's church, right? You know why we're sitting in here, that a lot of people just laid up in bed, they got problems and all this stuff, and we're fighting over stupid stuff. That unhealthy competition happens in marriage when you don't understand vision. Barbara checked me last night, and she got a way of doing that. Anybody's wife got a way of slyly checking you, and you're like, you want to get back at them, but you know they're right? Yeah. I was watching Restaurant Impossible. It's right. I was watching Restaurant Impossible last night, and I told Barbara something that I said, man, I could see this happen. It wasn't a restaurant, but it was an envision. It was a dream that was inspired from that. And I told Barbara about it, and she said, man, we can do this. And she began to tell what role she would play. And then she stopped and said, hold a minute. At the beginning of our marriage, you said we would never work together. And that was the truth. Because when we first got married, I had to get used to her personality. I didn't want to use to somebody. Every time I said something, she got something to say back. We're going to do this. Why? I wasn't used to that. And because I wasn't used to that, I didn't understand her role in my life. And now that time has progressed, we were competing with each other. Now we understand we're on the same team. I understand her personality. So instead of trying to change her, now I've learned we learn how to work together. We learn each. You do that in marriage. That's what vision looks like. You learn to work together. And now I can see it, but watch this. The problem was not her. The problem was my immaturity. There are a lot of people around you that God sends in your life that you don't click. The problem may not necessarily be them. It may be a maturity thing in your life where God matures you. He shows you their role in your life. And it isn't until the vision comes to pass that you understand, oh, I understand now why God did that. You know what vision looks like? This? These guys are bad. Man, I'm telling you, these guys are phenomenal. What I love about them, they rock, they feed off each other. I praise and worship team, and I give it up to them every Sunday as well. They do a tremendous job. Can we give it up? man, I can't sing, and if I sing, I sing like them. If I played, I played like them. But what I love is you don't hear breakout solos every Sunday. Somebody says, I like this part, and I'm going to just go all out on this one. You don't hear Darion just all of a sudden, he just doing it like Animal on Fraggle Rock and just go off on the drum. You don't see all that on Sundays. What you see is them feeding together. What vision looks like is that you stop competing with your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not your competition. And look at him and say, I don't want to be you. Yeah. When you understand that I'm not competing for your husband, your wife, your job. I want to be me. And when we understand that we can work together, vision begins to come to pass. Y'all right in here? All right. To build a vision, you got to understand this. First slide. You got to understand what provision is. I told you all last week, saints of God are not paper chasers. We don't chase money. We don't chase skirts. We don't chase dreams. Money chases us. Dreams chase us. Relationships find us when we find vision. You want to find your mate? Find your vision. You want to find money? Find your vision. You want to locate your dream? Find your vision, and you will find yourself. Remember y'all cartoon watchers? How many of y'all watch Roadrunner? You look like Wile E. Coyote trying to chase the Roadrunner when you have no vision in life. As soon as he caught up to him, he had a trap set up and blew him up. Satan will tempt you. He will taunt you with your dream until you get vision, as if you're going to stay where you are for the rest of your life. I've made a commitment. I will not be taunted or tormented with my dream. I'm going to follow after God, and I'm going to see this thing come to pass. Anybody believe that in here? All right, so to understand vision, you got to understand what provision is. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. I'm going to go a little fast through this, so you just trust me. It's coming from the Bible, Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Understand this, everything that God is going to do, he's already done. Everything that God's going to do, he's already done. None of you since you've been born have grown one more bone. None of you since you've been born have grown one more muscle. The same heart you had when you were born, you got it now. What happens is it develops. Everything that God has ever given you and is going to give you, you already have it. It isn't until you need it that by faith you go get what God says is yours. You nervous about light bill. You nervous about your children. God knew you're going to have them children. God knew you wouldn't be that way with your money. God knew you would have flesh issues. And in that moment, God said, I've given you grace to help. Anybody thank God for grace in here? In the time of need. He knows what you need before you need it. So we'll look at the etymology. That means the breakdown of the word provision and provide. The word pro means to beforehand or in advance. Vide means to see. So you put provide together. God before saw everything you need. Vision means sight, see. No. So put them together. Provision means God beforehand, in advance, saw. He knew what you would need. Can I ask any of y'all a question in here? Did any of y'all in here make this door? No, the door behind you, the one you walked into on the side. No, the door was here before you got here, right? Your life is the same way. You don't have to make a door. You don't have to create a door. When you get where God wants you to have, you just need to turn the knob and walk in by faith, because God, instead of, I'm going to knock the door down and I'm going to get what God says, why don't you just get your stroll on like Elder Holman talked about? And by faith, how y'all doing? When I get there, I don't see it right now, but by the time I get what God says I'm going to be, I'm going to walk right into everything he says is mine. Look to your neighbor and say, where's your door? All right. So what is provision? Provision is the tools needed to build. Provision is anything used to manifest vision. You use what God has given you. You take care of it. Your car right now is provision. Anybody would like a new car? How are you treating the one you got now? Anybody want a bigger house? I'm going to lift my hands. You might walk around your house and say, I'm ready for something new. Here's the question. How are you treating the one you got now? You don't abuse the two. And watch this. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. I tell single folks this all the time. You will marry no better than you date. So your dating is practice for how you will marry. So if you abuse now dating, what makes you think you're going to change when you get married? It's a mindset based off how you see a thing. Y'all got real quiet on me right there. So how do I get provision? How do I get provision? Number one, I got to seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6, 33. And it says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are these things? These things are your money. These things are your job. These things, if you want to be married, these things are your bills. God knows you have need of it. He's not ignorant. He knows you need to eat. But if you seek first his kingdom, his vision, watch this. He'll add everything to you. Here's the thing I had to come get to the point. Am I serving God's vision or am I serving my own vision? You know, I tried it for a long time and it don't work. I don't make any headways when I try to do things my own way. Anybody been there before? God, I'm going to work this out, try to figure it out. It don't work. When you trade your vision in exchange for God's vision, God provides for his vision. Because many are the plans of a man's heart, but only the purpose of God will prevail. This building right here that you're in, this is not vision. This is provision. I had plans when it comes to a building. I still do. I wanted to be, if you consulted me about where God wanted us to be, where I thought God, and I got real spiritual about it, wanted us to be as a church. We would be in the main thoroughfare somewhere in Murfreesboro. Everybody would see us. We'd be in lights. We just, you couldn't miss our church. That's where my plans were. God's plans were a little different. You don't just drive by here. You get lost. Did you find this place? But you got lost finding this. There are people I invited. I will come to your church, but I don't know where it's at. I drove 45 minutes. There are people who walk up at benediction. I've been trying to find the place. It's like God got a sense of humor. You tell me to start a church, and then you put us in the middle of nowhere and chickens and goats and just stuff. What? I mean, come on. Make it hard for me. Why don't you? Here's what happened. God knows how to do it. We were in the school for a couple years, and the church that was here folded. You guys know the story, but perhaps you don't know this. They came to us, and they said, do you want to buy the building? I looked at it. We walked around. There's a lot of room in here. And they gave us a price. And the first price, we said, no. It's like the Lord said, don't take that price. He looked at me strange because it's a great price. No startup church would refuse this price. And the guy looked at me strange. He said, let me get back with you. He went back to his board. He cut the price in half and said, will you take it now? The Lord said, yes. Let me show you how this came. The morning my brother passed, I got a phone call from a pastor who prays for me. And I thought it was God. He called and said, Jason, I was in my garden and the Lord told me to sit on a pail. Pastor Rick. Yeah, you guys have to know him to know this kind of guy. He's sitting in his garden. He said, Lord told me to pray for you and then call you. And I said, you have no idea how coincidental it is. My brother just passed and surely the Lord sent you to call me and tell me condolences. He said, I had no idea. He said, but that's not why I called. I was like, that's kind of rude of God to call me on the morning my brother passed to tell me something about my life. I'm ready to mourn and do all this stuff. He said, but I want you to do this. He said, I'll pray for you with your brother. But he said, the Lord told me to tell you this. He's going to take you on a path that it seems like you're going to go off the beaten path of where he wants you to be. It's going to seem like you're going backwards to where God said he wants you to go. But if you go that path and trust it, you will avoid a lot of financial struggles. You will avoid a lot of pitfalls if you'll trust him and do it that way. He had no idea we were in the middle of making a deliberation, a decision to purchase this building or to go somewhere else. I am so glad to God that God knows how to send confirmation because you guys have no idea how much of a blessing this building has been. I'm going to tell you how much of a blessing it is. It's just being transparent. We're able to go to the bank, whereas most startup churches have to come out of pocket 100 grand or so when you look at a loan. Guess what we have as collateral? Not just a reserve in the bank, but we have this building, which has a lot of equity in it. We probably got well over $100,000 worth of equity in this building. Why? Because we followed God. So when we get ready to build, we got provision. It's not going to be a struggle. And I'm scratching my head. God, if you do this, I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. Watch this. That's how God blessed us. Now, he ain't no respected person. He'll do that for you. What is God telling you to do that don't make sense right now? No, God, that ain't what I thought you were going to do. When you follow after God, it works every time. Let your neighbor say, every time. But watch this. This building is not vision. This building is provision. This building could burn down and fall apart. BFF will never start. Some of you are falling apart because you lost your job. Things done happened in your life that you thought were not going to work out. That was not vision. Vision don't die. That's provision. Where one door shut, God got another door waiting to open on you. So, baby, before you get ready to throw in the towel and just kill yourself, no, God got something else for you. Touch your neighbor and say, vision don't die. Vision don't The second thing is, you got to seek first the kingdom, but you got to use wisdom to discern opportunity. 2 Corinthians 9:7-17. Can y'all, I want to use your Bible this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:7-10. I'm going to read it. When you get home, you can read it. It said, every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you have all sufficiency and all things may abound in every good work. You know what that means? You'll have what you need when you need it, when you give. All right? Skip down to verse 10. He that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. You got to ask yourself this question about whatever you have. Is that seed or is that bread? You don't eat seed, you eat bread. I love holy handshakes. Holy handshakes are those ones where people shake you and you feel something in it when they leave. Yeah, and somebody blessed me once with a holy handshake, and in my hand, I thought I had Ruth Chris. Y'all try it. They got that stuffed chicken. They got some kind of cheese in it, rosemary sauce. They got a sweet potato souffle that is just, oh, my God. Y'all, it will bless your soul. Save up and go there. And I saw Ruth Chris on my mind, and it wasn't 10 minutes later, I was talking to somebody and said, we're about to do a project. Would you consider sewing in it? My hand got weak. Because I thought I had Ruth Chris in my hand, but in reality, God had blessed me with a seed to sow into somebody's life. Here's what a seed is. A seed is something you release from your present to unlock something in your future. When God requires you to sow, you have no idea why. I'm going to tell you what a seed looks like. When you sow a seed, you don't see immediate return, but you trust God that he's going to do what he promised. Many times when you sow a seed, it looks worse than what you first started. I talked about the band a minute ago. When you look at these guys, all of these guys play for some people. They do great things. Ronald, he and I were walking at a certain stage. We're walking around a neighborhood, and he's a great musician, but he wanted to produce. Y'all know who Mandisa is, American Idol? Yeah, Ronald travels with her, and he plays. He was on Good Morning America and all that good stuff. Ronald's on the organ, and he wanted to be known as a producer. There was a guy that Ronald sold a song into. He sold a song, meaning he didn't get a return. But he sold it into this guy. Somehow the guy took the song and put it in front of Mandisa. Their attention shifted. All they knew Ronald as was a musician. Once they heard his work, it began to open up doors for Ronald. Mandisa just released a CD maybe a couple weeks to a month ago. Guess who produced 2 songs on that CD? It started with a seed. He didn't have to slide up next to Mandisa and act like something was wrong with his hand and slide a tape in her purse. He didn't have to wait outside her hotel room and, here, I want to give you this. Ronald sold what he had, and it opened up a door for where God wanted him to be. Your job is a seed into your future. Your current opportunity is a seed that you sow in faithfulness, and you have no idea what God is trying to open, and you downplaying and playing to the left where you are right now. And God said, that's your seed. Look at your neighbor and say, what you doing with your seed? He said, he gives seed to the sower. This is provision, bread to the eater. Bread is something that you eat right now. The third thing is this: to get provision, you got to choose life and not death. God is a God who respects your decision. He will not force you to do anything. He'll let you go to hell if you want to, but he'll take you in heaven if you decide. Deuteronomy 30:19 said, behold, I place before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life and not death. Here's a question to every single last one of y'all in here. Will you choose life? Here's the thing. Nobody chooses death. Go into the elementary. I see Miss Simpkins in the back. I see some school teachers. They go in Miss Harvey's class. Ask any of those kids. How many of y'all want to grow up and y'all want to be on crack? How many of y'all want to grow up and be and go bankrupt three or four times? How many of y'all want to grow up and be in abusive relationships? You want to spend a great deal of your life in trouble and oppression? None of them kids will raise their hand. You're asking, what do you want to be? I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a doctor. Man, I'm going to own me a string of McDonald's. We all start out with great intentions. But your intentions don't pick your future. Your decisions do. And you got to decide, how are you going to live? Because Satan got provision for your, if you got a problem, he'll supply you with every drug, every woman you want. He'll supply you with every bit of avenue to get in crazy debt that you want. But if you want life, God said, yeah, you're going to have struggles. But if you choose life, I got healing for your hurt. If you choose life, I got people, divine connections that will help you to get where you are. Oh, I feel in my spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, you are never alone. When you choose life, God always has somebody there to help you in your life option. Y'all ain't like that one. The fourth one is this. You got to obey God even when it don't make sense. It don't make sense to come out here. It don't make sense for God to tell you to hold your peace when you know how to cuss folk out. No, It don't make sense for you to support somebody who you know you should have got their job and you didn't get it and God said you'd be their most faithful supporter. It don't make sense to sit there and worship God. Satan know you broke. It don't make sense to be going through and coming here and smile like everything is all right. That don't make sense. But your obedience causes heaven to stand up. And God's love language is obedience. That when you obey him, it causes heaven to stand up and all heaven backs up your decision. Look at your neighbor and say, have you said yes to God? Oh, let me know. Don't play with it. There's some of you that God has a call of God on your life. There's some of you that God is calling you to step out. He's calling you to stand up and be bold. And there's some of you in here who are teenagers, grown people for that instance. And God is saying, I want you to have your own identity. Quit doing stuff just because people want you to do it. Quit just people pleasing and you just blending in with the crowd. God is looking for somebody that wants to stand up, make a bold stance and say yes. And watch what happens when you say yes. There are people who are just sitting there, just blending in, who will follow the mandate of God because you made one bold decision to say, yeah. One bold decision to say, listen, I ain't got to sleep with everybody to prove I'm a man. I don't not have sex with everybody just because I can't, because I choose not to. I got vision in mind. I don't go out and just run and do all kind of crazy stuff because I can't. I do it because, y'all looking at me strange, I have vision. You think you all that. You think you just old snooty church person. You know you got issues too. Yeah, I got issues. But my issues ain't going to rob me of my destiny. Yeah, I got struggles, but it ain't gonna cost me my vision. And watch this. Have you made mistakes since you've been saved? Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, you have too. But God is faithful to pick you up every time you fall to the wayside. Every time. I feel the preacher coming out. You trip every time you mess up. Every time when you set out, God, I'm going to do this, God is faithful and just. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just. Good evening, children. Is anybody in here that know that God can? Yes, if he only will. Let me get where I'm going. Y'all got me stirred up. But I know somebody here that said, God, listen. My testimony and the things that I've done have not compromised the integrity of my vision. I've done some low-down, dirty stuff. Gonna be honest in here. I've done some stuff that I'm not too proud of. But thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. That my vision was not compromised because of my foolishness. My vision was not aborted because I'd made some stupid mistakes. God has grace and picked me up. And not only did he pick me up, but he changed my mindset so that I don't go back. Am I talking to anybody in here? Yeah. You obey God when it don't make sense. 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 I'm sitting here today because I did stuff that didn't make sense when God said do it. I was praying to God to do certain things and God was saying, if you walk away from this, both Barbara and I can tell our story about how we met. God told me to walk away from a relationship because it had run its course. And y'all been in here before where you don't really love the person you with. You just don't want to see him with nobody else. Yeah. Y'all looking at me strange. And God said, it's time. You need to let her live her life and you go live yours. Little did I know that around that same time, Barbara was dealing with God. God was dealing with Barbara about the same thing. And when we got together and we finally began to talk, I told her what was happening in my life during a certain season. No joke. She would tell you what God did with her in a certain season of her life. I did not know a person named Barbara Murray who lived in Midland, Texas. She didn't know Jason Scales in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But God is a God who just moved beyond where you are right now. Little did I know, I'm in Chattanooga, she's in Midland, Texas, and God is doing the same work because it was months later that God was about to bring us together. You're sitting in here right now that God is working on some things that you don't see. While he's telling you to give up, he's working on something else that you have no idea of. That if you would just say yes to God, you have no idea. Your husband, you can meet him tomorrow. The job opportunity, the thing can be presented to itself if you're willing to walk away. When God said, y'all in here? Walk away. Oh man, my time. Let's go to my next slide.
running readers. He said, write the vision, Habakkuk 2, and make it plain that he may run that readeth it. Scripture says you got to make a vision plain, and you got people who run with it. All of us in here are connected to vision. You're a visionary, but you run with vision. I believe that God has blessed people to come together, not in competition, but to work together. We play both roles in some part of our life. I believe, according to the Bible, that man is not a tyrant. He said, treat woman as the weaker vessel. It didn't say she was weaker. It said as. And he said, man is the head of the house. A pastor is the head of the church. And God is the head of, I don't understand authority. And watch this. Your job has a vision. This church has a vision. Your house has a vision. You want to see frustration when you ask a husband and wife what you're going to do in life and neither one of them are saying the same thing? What you going to do? The husband said, we're getting out of debt this year. You ask the wife, we're going on vacation and we're going to see this and that. I guarantee you that's a source of the problem. It's not vacation and it's not debt. It's that you're not on the same page. God gives every house the vision and he gives that to the leader. He gives every person connected to the vision a vision because God will not leave you without a vision. But if your vision is not part of the vision, you're part of division. Division. God said, you are pulling things out of alignment because you're not lining up with my plan. Anybody ever had a tire alignment and your wheel alignment was off and you kept blowing tires and you found out the problem is not the tires, it's your alignment. Many of us are out of alignment and you blowing tires and keep replacing them. You blowing jobs, you blowing relationships, you blowing your money and you think it's your money, your relationship and all this stuff. It ain't that stuff, it's your alignment. Where are you in alignment? Who are you at? Where are you at in alignment with God's vision for your life? Man, he talking to me. Yeah. So God sends readers to plainly written vision. When you understand vision, you can run accordingly to what the people you're connecting with. Watch this. When vision is plain, you can articulate who you are and you don't feel selfish for it. As a man, I've articulated to Barbara, this is what makes me happy as a husband. This is what I need as a person. Yeah. I need quiet time. I need time by myself. During those quiet times, Sister Barbara don't bust in the door. Here, you need to help me with these kids. We need to do all this. No, she respects that. She does. I know this about Barbara. When it comes time to clean, Barbara don't play. Me and Isaiah, we either side of the line up with the vision or we go in our part of our own little house. She don't play when it comes to that. But watch this. I spent a lot of time trying to change her instead of understanding who she was. You spend a lot of time in your life downplaying what you really need. Folks will tell you, y'all, child, that show was a nice pair of shoes. Oh, these shoes ain't nothing. Why you downplay that? You ought to tell them that's why I bought them. Good, they were nice. That show was a nice dress. It sure is, ain't it? I'm trying not to make you shame. That's a nice hairdo. That ain't it? Ain't I? Yeah. Man, you are beautiful. I'm God's best. What you expect? But y'all got a problem with that. He arrogant. He think he all that. But if I come up here crying to Paul, man, y'all pray for me. Our lights got cut off last week. Bottom of my shoe got holes in them. Y'all help the preacher. You support people. You like confident people. People who are confident in what they are because you can't bless nobody else till you get comfortable in who you are. Because you'll be in subtle competition with them. Look at your neighbor again and say, I'm not trying to be you. But tell them we're better together. I found out you ain't got but two teeth, they better together. Running readers are sent by God to a place. When I was starting out in preaching, they would tell this to us. They said, make sure God call you and you didn't just get all hyped up in the service. Because some preachers were sent and some just went. I'll say it again. Some preachers were sent and some just went. Some business owners were sent, and some just went. You just got tired of working and wouldn't answer nobody, and you thought entrepreneurship was just you laying in the bed to whenever time you wanted to get in the bed, and you were like, that is not entrepreneurship. Make sure wherever you are sent by God because God provides for where he guides. All right, can we go to the next one? Next slide is there's a responsibility of the reader. When you hear vision, do this. Running requires the lost art of reading and listening. Any of y'all ever get tired of sending somebody an email and they call you back and ask you everything you just said to them? Most of the stuff that you are trying to figure out has already been told to you. It's been already been clearly articulated. Your wife has told you what she needs. Your husband has told you what you need. God has told you what you need. And you keep praying. And God said, I ain't going to say nothing different than what I said last time. You got to have a clear understanding of what's being said and read. Man, can I tell you what? Something happens when a person reads. And I hated reading until I stopped preaching. I could not stand reading. But my hunger for knowledge, it expands my horizons. And you know what reading is? It's nothing more than reading somebody else's dreams. It's reading how they got to where they are, and it helped you out. And you can write your own book with your life. Now, number two, you got to understand the vantage point of the writer. You do this by establishing a heart-to-heart connection with the person writing. I hate when people, that's a strong word, tell me what I mean when I say it. You can't tell me what I meant when I said it. You can't project your thought on what somebody says. You can't tell nobody how to feel. If I want to be upset, guess what? I'm going to be upset. If I want to have a down day, guess what? I just don't feel my best today. Oh, you're a believer. You can't have no down day. How's that working for you? You said they ain't got no energy just trying to save the world and just dragging. They might be honest, there are days you just don't feel it. Yeah, you can't tell somebody how to feel. You got to understand where they're at to help them to get to where God wants to be. Number three, be in the moment. Hear what is being said, not what you assume or what you think. I'm a financial underwriter by trade. I work for Cigna Healthcare. And what I do is I help people, companies that are 2,000 lives or greater. I set their insurance rate. I determine how much they say, their discounts. When you go to Walgreens, CVS, I'm the one that helps negotiate to get those discounts in place with particular companies. I was talking to a sales rep because I was giving her discounts for a particular case. And she said, you know what? I was an underwriter 20 years ago. I said, oh, Jesus, we got trouble. I'm trying to explain to her a quote from 2013. And she got a 1983 understanding. We spent 20 minutes or longer than that on the phone trying to get her up to speed because she's trying to see it from an underwriter vantage. And I didn't need her. I am the underwriter. I needed her to be the sales rep. Many of us are frustrated in life right now because you're not hearing stuff from October, whatever this is, 2013. You're hearing it from 1985, your fifth grade classroom, your first boyfriend. You're hearing it from all this stuff. And it's like trying to play a Blu-ray and a VHS recorder. God said, I need you to come up to date and hear what's being said, not what you think. Yeah. Well, my first boyfriend said, you ain't dating your first boyfriend. He's your husband. It may look like his old. This is not your first church. And y'all looking at me strange. This is not the job you lost. You are in another stage in life. And God said, I want you to hear what I said. You're not the person you were a year ago. God said, I want you to hear it based off where you are now. Touch yourself and say, let the past go. So you got to be in the moment, and readers must first have a desire to understand. It's hard to read something when you don't want to understand. You ever talk to somebody who just bent on not hearing what you said? They would rather be critical and poke holes instead of help you. Maturity has a way of bringing some understanding in your life. I remember not having kids and not being married and seeing little kids fall out in Walmart, and their mama had to hold them by their arm, and they just sitting there dangling. I said, when I get kids, I wish they would fall out like that in Walmart. You would see them in restaurants, and they got food going everywhere. They won't be quiet. I would say, I wish my kid would act like that until we had Isaiah. Until Isaiah get 2 or 3 years old, and he decide he don't want to wait for food, and Barbara and I got to go, one of us go in the lobby and hold him while the other one eat, and we got to get up and walk around and play. I said, I will wear my child out in public till you know they got CPS, and I don't want anybody to think I beat my kid all the time, and I'm afraid of going to jail because if I just let him have it like I really want to right here. Things change when you see it from a different perspective. My life is a whole lot different now because Isaiah, every time we go to GameStop, he want a game. Every time we go, yeah, they got kids like that. They think money like that Skittles commercial. The more you run, the more money come. And I used to wonder, why are my parents, I asked for $20 and I get an hour lecture. I didn't ask for that. I want $20, not the lecture. Until I got my own $20 and my own 7-year-old son. How was Isaiah? 6, 7? He's somewhere around there. Until I got Isaiah. And then I understand, oh, I understand what you mean now when I got this hour lecture for $20. Every single person in here, I cannot wait till you get married. I cannot wait till you have kids and all that little stuff you did to your parents. You see it manifesting. I pray God it don't. But if you do, you're going to look and say, Lord, is this what I look like? There's going to be a whole lot of repenting, a lot of crying. It's going to be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing to your parents. Because things are different when you look at it from a different vantage point. I remember being out and me and Barbara saw this couple and they didn't say nothing to each other for an hour just sitting there looking. And I said, that would never be us. until you have an argument and y'all sit there riding in the car and y'all can't hear nothing but crickets. And this is what tickled me about y'all. I can't get control of my emotions. Yes, you can. Y'all don't sit there and not say nothing to each other on the way to church. And then get to church, baby, how you doing? Child, it is good to see. That is a nice suit. You ain't spoke the whole way to church. Look at your neighbor and say, never say never. But when you understand vision, you got to see it from a different perspective. Y'all right? You got to see it from a different perspective. My last slide, and I'm about finished. Here's the characteristics of true vision. True vision is this. Vision is for an appointed time. Who's the author of time? Say God. Who gives vision? Say God. Who sets appointment? Say God. My responsibility is to write, make it plain, and to understand timing. God's job is to make it happen. I do the writing, I do the running, and God brings the results. It said at the end, the vision speaks. I want to tell every person in here, you don't have to speak for vision. Vision will speak for you. You don't have to, a lot of us spend our life trying to prove I ain't what I used to be. I know y'all remember the old me. You don't have to do all that. Just be you. Just walk out what God said you're supposed to do, and your vision will speak for you. You know, I'm going to be a millionaire. I can show you, but I can tell you. I'm going to be a great husband and a great father. Listen, some of us, you done apologized enough. You done repented enough. You know, they say, can I repent enough? Yeah, you can bring closure to it and move on and be what God calls you to be. Because at the end, the vision speaks and not lie. And watch this. Be careful about people who want to make you punish you every day for the things you've done. I'm serious. There's one judge, and it's God. When you sin against God, not against people. You offend people. You apologize for the hurt, and you ask God for credibility to bring restoration. That's what you do, and that's how vision begins to manifest, and he does it through a committed life. The last one is this. It says, vision doesn't lie. It has integrity. It delivers. And it says, though it tarry, wait for it. I saw an image this morning in my head, and I wish Tyler was here. Tyler's a server. And this is what I saw. God said, here's what those who wait on vision looks like. You ever been to a restaurant and a guy walks to the table with his hand like this? He has something over his arm. He has a pad in his hand. He's not telling you. You don't go to Rue Chris Longhorn and tell the person what they're going to eat. You give them options and you let them, you hear what they have to say. Vision looks like that with God. I'm here serving. What are you saying to me, God? I'm not telling you what my life should look like. I tried that. It don't work. What are you saying my life should look like, God? I am here to serve. Vision in marriage looks like this. Yes, know what you want, but you will never be able to speak what you want until you understand what your spouse needs. You have a pad and a pen. What do you like? What do I do that drives you nuts? You may not want to hear that. What is it that really drives you? You do that with your boss. Watch this. Y'all want to see some promotion? Go ask your boss and they're going to think you're crazy. Give me three things that you need help on, you need done, and how can I help you? I guarantee you they got a list of 10. And somewhere in there you can do one, and it creates an opportunity for favor on your life because now you're seen as a vision champion. So waiting on God looks like serving. Serving is not just sitting here. Who was it? Sam Cooke, Dr. LeBay, I don't remember who it was. I'm waiting on God. What are you doing? Child, I'm just waiting. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. What you doing? Oh, Jesus. What y'all gonna do this Sunday? We gonna wait on Jesus. Maybe he'll just stop by for a minute. This is not waiting on God. This is wasting your time and God's. Waiting on God looks like this. What are you saying? I will do whatever you tell me. Here's my commitment. If you speak, I'll do it, and I'll see your results. Waiting on God looks like this. Father, I worship you because I don't see it right now. But while you guys are not here, I'm walking around this building. God, I thank you for every attendant who will walk in this church. I thank you that there's anointing in every pew. I pray that you speak like never before. Waiting on God is not twiddling your thumbs like Alf. Remember Alf used to do his four fingers? It's worshiping God, and it's getting up and doing something. I'm going to give you a few moments. I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm going to push you into worship. Do I got some folks in here who need vision to unfold in your life? Do I got some people in here who need divine connections? Can you guys play softly? I'm going to give you some time now. It may be a couple that needs to worship together. You may end up at the altar. You may end up on your knees or on your face. You may end up writing. But waiting on vision is writing. It's worshiping. And I want you to pour your heart out and say, God, here's my worship. Take joy in it. Make it your dwelling place, God. God, I want to make you smile. I want to make you smile as a husband. I want to make you smile as a pastor. I want to make you smile as a business owner. I want to make you smile as a man of God. How can I serve you? You provide for your vision, so I need you to speak to me right now. All over the house, I need you to begin to worship. If you need to stand, I'm good. If you need to kneel, you want to come to the altar, whatever you do, I need you to begin to worship. There is a release that God is sending in this place this morning. God's speaking to you. What is God saying to you? Don't let my walking make you nervous. God, I thank you for every person in this place. I pray vision. Help. Help. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Vision. There's a young man here who has a great call to lead young men. Be faithful where you are. There are entrepreneurs. There are single people who get frustrated with being single, who will feel convicted because you get lonely or you don't like being alone. Help God to ask God to help you deal with those emotions, but you need vision. You get frustrated because things don't flow the way you think they should flow. Money's not flowing now. Shift your focus. God, I'm doing stuff. I don't even like what I do, but God, I'm doing it. Where's your vision? There are those who just, man, they just feel like your joy is gone. It's just zapped out of you. As a matter of fact, if you're in here and you feel like your joy just, it's not what it used to be. You need something set on fire. Lift your hands. Lift your hands in here. God, I pray now the name. That's all right. Lift your hand. It's you and God. Remember, we're not crowd pleasers. We are God seekers. God, I pray right now an infusion of joy. Where are my worshipers? Father, have your way right now in the name of Jesus. God, bring your results right now. God, I speak vision. Clarify vision now. Show me where my work ethic is off. Show me where I played the victim and I blame, but it's really my laziness, my procrastination. Show me where my word is not good and I need to make it good. God, show me right now in the name of Jesus. I pray vision over every person in this house. Vision beyond where you are. Somebody, God, you're challenging to sow something. You're challenging us to move beyond selfish and to stop serving ourselves and to move into serving you. God, I worship you right now. Where are my worshipers? God, I worship you. Come on, where are my worshipers? Where are my worshipers? God, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? Vision causes perhaps layovers in life. Layovers where you don't have a nonstop flight. There are times when you stop when things get off and things get on. You could be there in life. What is God speaking to you? What do you need to unload to take in the name of Jesus? Where is God speaking to you? What direction is he moving you in? God, I thank you for vision. You never fail. God, I thank you. I worship you. I worship you. You can talk to it. I present my body. God, I thank you. Back to you. Here's my worship. God, I thank you right now. God, I bless your name. God, I thank you. Vision. I don't want to be a part of thy vision. I want to move in a direction that you're speaking. No more battles with your will. While you're worshiping, I'm going to do this. Every person who feels like you're in a struggle with God and that's something he's asking you to surrender and you want to say yes to his will, you tried it your way. I'm not necessarily just talking about sin. I'm talking about your career, financially, relationally. You keep trying and it doesn't keep working your way and you say, God, I want to surrender to you. As an act of your will, I want you to come from wherever you are all over this building. Just come and say, God, I'm ready to surrender. Come from wherever you are. I'm ready to surrender. Come. I'm talking a whole lot of you in here. Come. Relationally, I surrender. Jesus, you're the Lord of everything but my career. I'm trying to make so much stuff happen that ain't. I'm tired of the frustration. I understand waiting. But God, this is not waiting what I'm doing. Some of you, God has challenged you. Your focus is your issue, and God said, I want to give you vision. Everybody else that's not coming, I want you to just worship God. You've been feeling God tug at your heart. Yeah, that's what's up. You're about to see things line up in your life that you never imagined. Your confidence. You wrestling with stuff that God said you ain't got no business wrestling with. That's my, your past is my business. I want you to look forward. God, I thank you right now. Marriages are being reignited. Vision is being given. Your deliverance is in your vision. I thank you right now in the name of, I want you to do me a favor at this altar. I want you to talk to God, and I want you to tell him yes. Yes to your will, God. Yes to your way. I want to put a smile on your face. God, I surrender my plans. God, I thank you that you're developing your plan for my life. And I want you to talk to him right now. The presence of God is here in this room. I've got an idea of success, but it's nothing compared to yours. I've got an idea of marriage in my career, but it's nothing compared to yours. I'm tired of just bumping my head and things not turning. In the name of Jesus, your way, God. And he's doing it. He's doing it.
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.